You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. Thanks for tuning in. A lot of you probably tuning in to talk about or hear about the red-hot Minnesota Twins. They entered June on top of the AL Central. I don't think many people saw that coming. I don't think many people in Minnesota saw that coming. Rhett Bollinger, I know you didn't see it coming. What do you think of that?
Yeah, pretty amazing, isn't it? June 1st, and the Twins have the best record in the American League right now. Pretty impressive, obviously, a big month of May there, winning 20 games in a month for the first time since 1991. It's been quite a while, and I think Twins fans definitely know what happened in 1991. So, yeah, just one of those things. We had a great month after a really slow start like we talked about in the past, and it's just been one of the biggest, if not the biggest, surprise in baseball so far this season.
Yeah, the last time the Twins won 20 games in a month, MC Hammer, I believe, was on top of the charts. So, been a while, Rhett. Were you even old enough to remember MC Hammer?
Oh, of course, yeah. I had the Hammer pants and all that stuff. I was like about 5 years old back then.
All right. Let's see. Where do we start here? I mean, Torii Hunter, I think we start with Torii Hunter, Rhett. He had a 965 OPS in May. I think we entered this season expecting, okay, Hunter's going to be a nice clubhouse influence. He'll get him a few big hits. You know, hopefully his glove will hold up, that sort of thing. Hopefully his body will hold up. But here we are. I mean, after a month like that, I think you kind of have to start wondering, maybe there's another year in the offing for Torii Hunter after 2015. I'm sure his mind is not there yet. But, geez, you watch this guy play, and you can't help but think he might be able to extend his career even further.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. He's pretty much like he's 39 going on 29. The fact that he's still producing at that age. Like you said, I think when they signed him, they were hoping he'd still be productive. But I mean, last year with the Tigers, he's still a productive outfielder. He hit like 18 homers with like 90 RBIs, a guy that can definitely help the lineup. But for him to be able to kind of even do better than that so far this season and to add that kind of clubhouse leadership that he needed so badly has been the perfect combination. I think at the time, some people kind of mocked the Twins for the signings. And, oh, the Twins are just going back for nostalgia, signing an old guy who really can't contribute and overvaluing, you know, clubhouse chemistry and all that. And sure enough, now they look like geniuses with the Twins, you know, best record in the American League. Torii Hunter's been with their best player in May, kind of carried the offense along with Brian Dozier, Trevor Plouffe, guys like that. And then on top of, like I said, that clubhouse right now, the chemistry is the best I've seen it in my years in the beat for sure. Obviously, because, I mean, the Twins have struggled the last 4 years, but even without that, I mean, they're doing these dance parties in the clubhouse after the games with the fog machines going and all the flashing lights and laser shows and all that. So, they're just having a lot of fun, and Torii Hunter is the one that kind of brought that atmosphere into the clubhouse and kind of changed the clubhouse culture there, too. So, really, he's been, you know, invaluable so far to this team and a major reason for their, you know, surprising start of the season.
Well, somebody's got to bring the hammer pants to the post-game dance party.
Absolutely.
We talked a little bit about this last week, that there's really no outlandish offensive performances going on unless you consider, you know, what Hunter's doing at his age to be outlandish, which I guess you could. But I guess that also lends itself to the fact that the All-Star ballot updates came out last week. The Twins didn't have a single guy represented in any of the top five at any position or top 15 in the outfield. But you mentioned Plouffe and Dozier, too. Those guys, you know, could be trending towards that kind of representation. Obviously, Jason Kipnis had an even bigger month within the division than Dozier at second base, which is saying something. So Dozier had a really nice month himself, but I think those two guys, it'd be nice to see them get a little more love from the voters here going forward.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Dozier last year came pretty close to being an All-Star for the first time. I think some people thought he had a chance, but just missed out. I think he's kind of hurt because he never hits for too high of an average, but he's a guy that walks so much and hits for so much power, especially as a second baseman, that, you know, it makes up for that. I mean, I think right now, he's second in the majors in extra base hits to Josh Donaldson, who's obviously having a great year for the Blue Jays. So Dozier, I think, both those guys, Dozier and Plouffe, I think, are two of the more underrated guys in all of baseball, especially because what they do defensively. I mean, Dozier, we know how good he is defensively, and especially last year we saw it for the first time really over the course of the season where he was a really good second baseman. And Plouffe right now is developing a very good defensive third baseman himself for a guy that used to kind of struggle defensively. So a guy that's really worked hard over the last few years to kind of develop into one of the better third basemen in the league. If you look at some of the advanced stats like WAR and all that, even last year, both those guys were near the top of the leaderboards at their positions. And it's the same thing this year. It's just maybe the fans are a little bit slower to kind of realize that because they are so underrated. And they don't really hit for high averages, that kind of stuff. But the power and the defense combinations from both those guys definitely kind of makes them at least, you know, warrant some consideration for the All-Star game. And we could see maybe either one of those guys, probably more likely Dozier, get more, more play, I guess, go to the All-Star game maybe from the fellow players, the managers, and could be added to that roster. But right now it seems like in terms of the fan voting, with nobody on that list, might be tough for the Twins to get a starter this year, but definitely those two guys are definitely in that mix. Maybe make the team as an addition later on.
Well, elsewhere in the infield, Danny Santana, of course, logged all that time last year in center field, so he's shifting back to his more natural position at shortstop, and there was some defensive unsteadiness, let's just put that, you know, politely, early in the season. It seems like he's improving on defense, but he's not hitting very much at all. Is there any thought on the latest on the shortstop situation between Santana and Escobar?
You're definitely right. It is one of those things where he's definitely gotten a little bit better, a little more steady in the field at shortstop. I think part of it, too, was just kind of getting rid of that rust, you know, because last year he played pretty much the entire season in center field. But offensively, yeah, I think people kind of, especially the people in the advanced stat community, were kind of pretty confident that he was going to regress offensively compared to what he did last year. Because last year he did so well. I think he had close to 320, with some surprising power, too. And he's not really a guy who walks much, but for him to be, you know, kind of as down as he's been offensively this year, it's still a surprise to Dupree. And again, we thought it was going to be this much of a regression. I could see if he continues to struggle offensively, they could obviously make that change and decide to put Escobar as a starting shortstop and move Santana back down to AAA, get his confidence going, kind of like what they did with Kenny Vargas earlier this month or in May. Decided to send him down, just kind of get his head straight. And so far, Vargas has been hitting the ball really well at AAA. It's likely to come back up here sometime soon. So I could see that move happening, but I think for now they're trying to just see if Santana can get it going. But at some point now, it's already been 2 months. It hasn't really happened yet. So definitely kind of curious to monitor him the next few weeks or so and see if the Twins decide to make that kind of move and see if he can either get hot or if he doesn't, if they decide that it might be worth it just to get him a AAA for a little while and have Escobar take over in the short term.
Somewhat lost in all this is the other Santana, Irvin Santana, who's, of course, suspended for the first half of the season for violating the performance-enhancing drug policy. But well, that's going to be a potentially impactful mid-season acquisition to a team that's obviously rolling right now. And you think about that as a nice stabilizing force in rotation. Rhett, what's the latest on Santana as far as working his way towards being ready when that 81-game ban is up?
Well, he's already pitching in games, which is a good sign. He pitched in the extended spring training game last weekend. I believe this week he's going to kind of maybe ramp it up. I think he only pitched 2 innings in that game. Maybe ramp it up to maybe 3 or 4 innings next time out, that kind of stuff. So he's going to do that. And then he's eligible to come off the suspension list on July 4th. And he gets 16 days before that to kind of start a rehab assignment. So the plan for now is to kind of have him keep pitching in his extended spring training games. And then once he kind of progresses from there, he'll go on a rehab assignment, maybe start at Fort Myers or maybe go straight to AAA and make probably 3 or 4 starts, either at AAA or at High A and kind of get back going there. And then he could be eligible on July 4th. So he's definitely kind of working his way back. And like I said, it's a big addition to this team. It's almost like they get like a guy as part of the trade deadline, you know, in terms of adding an impact arm halfway through the season. So definitely a good sign for them. And right now, the rotation has done well enough. Luckily, I mean, Tommy Malone's been, you know, lights out, and he's been at AAA. So they'll have probably a tough decision to make once Santana gets back. But you never know. Injuries happen. Obviously, we saw Ricky Nolasco roll his ankle the other day. Right. Waiting on the MRI exam results right now. But so injuries, that kind of stuff happens. But in general, it's just nice to have that depth and to have their number 2 starter, Irvin Santana, come back in the whole second half of the season.
Yeah, they just haven't had that depth in recent years, and it's played out as far as the numbers go for the starting rotation. The starting rotation has been better. It's not overpowering by any means. We talked about this, the low strikeout rates. So some people might think it might fall back, but you got to like the depth options. And some people think the runners in scoring position, what this club does offensively in the clutch, that could fall back. But there is something to be said for just the confidence they take in those situations. And the big thing with this team, Rhett, is just they get off the early leads. It's just that simple. They get on teams early, and then they put them away late with Boyer and Perkins in the back end of the bullpen. That's not, you know, that's not a fluky thing, what's going on as far as securing leads. And I guess you'd have to say, you know, what, 33% of the way into the season, Paul Molitor would probably get a lot of votes for manager of the year. That can make any manager look and feel smart when he's got a reliable bullpen back there.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, the bullpen's been a big part of this. And so far this season, they've only had one time all year where they were leading after the fifth inning and blew the lead and lost a game. And that was early in the season in Kansas City. But other than that, whenever they're up, they pretty much just find a way to just kind of hold on to that lead and win. I know this year, I think they've already had, like, I think they're 22 and, like, 7 or 8 when they're scoring first. So definitely it's kind of an advantage they have. Score early, take advantage, and kind of just hold on to that lead. You're right, Perkins has been lights out. That's something that probably can continue. I mean, he's been an all-star now the last 2 years, and I'm guessing with the way it's gone this year, he'll be an all-star for a third straight year. And Boyer's emerged as a really good setup reliever. And then they got Casey Feen back from the DL, and he's already been a good setup reliever for the last couple of years. So that's kind of an added little bonus to the bullpen. And if they needed to at the deadline, you know, they could always trade for a bullpen arm to help them too. So right now the bullpen's definitely run really well. There's been a major reason for that success. And just kind of scoring early and then clustering those runs where they score a lot of runs and have a lot of big innings and all that. And I think, like I said, some of the advanced stat people say that stuff's going to kind of not happen going forward as much, and they're not going to hit as much in runs to score position. But so far it's happened, and so far they have confidence, and they can keep it going. You know, who knows what could happen? I mean, it's hard to predict all this kind of stuff, and because who would have said the Twins would have been this good so far, you know? Coming into the season, they're predicted to finish last again, and so far this combination of just scoring early, protecting those leads, and scoring with runners in scoring position has definitely been a good formula for this team.
One last thing, Rhett, that's also hard to predict is the draft. Twins have the 6th overall pick. Any sense of how they feel about the depth of the draft this year in the first round?
I think this year they're not too high on the draft in general. I think it's kind of a down year in terms of the high-end talent. It sounds like, from what I've talked to some of the people in the front office, it sounds like next year is probably actually a little bit stronger of a draft. But this year they have a number 6 pick, which is obviously, you could add an impact player at number 6. They're looking at a couple of high school outfielders or potentially some college pitchers, maybe even a high school pitcher, a guy, Colby Allard, but he's got a back injury, so they're kind of monitoring that. So it's hard to predict what they'll do for sure this year. But if I had to guess, it's either going to be one of those high school outfielders or it's going to be probably a college pitcher as a number 6 pick. And then from there, you know, you never know. Last year they went with a ton of college relievers to try to build some, you know, relief depth in their system, which is definitely a big need for them last year. And we're starting to see some of those guys get up to Double-A now and get kind of closer to the majors. So it'll be interesting to kind of monitor and see how it goes. But yeah, if I had to guess right now, I think they'd probably go with a college pitcher, a guy maybe like Dylan Tate that could fall from UCSB. There's a couple different guys that I've seen linked and mentioned, but so far I hadn't heard a name the Twins are definitely locking on just yet.
All right, there you have it. Minnesota Twins is the team everybody's talking about as we enter June, and Rhett Bollinger is all over it for MLB.com. I want to thank him for joining us. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.